Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Planet Label. Laser, inkjet, or custom printed labels for your products. Get the best labels on the planet at planetlabel.com. If you're listening to the show at Indie Business Radio, you can join the live chat on Twitter or on Facebook by clicking on the Saver Chat link at IndieBusinessRadio.com's homepage. Post your questions and comments. I love hearing from you. You know that. I'm really excited about my guest today. My guest today is globally recognized as one of the most original and prominent social media thought leaders. His name is Brian Solis, and he is the principal of FutureWorks, an award-winning new media agency in Silicon Valley. And his blog at briansolis.com is ranked among the world's elite business and marketing blogs. Brian has led interactive and social programs for Fortune 500 companies, Web 2.0 startups, and celebrities. And speaking of celebrities, Brian's new book, Engage, includes a foreword by one of the best-known celebrities, and I should say Twitter-lebrities, there is, Ashton Kutcher. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Brian.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Brian, I want to start out by, let me share the full title of your newest book. It's called Engage, the Complete Guide for Brands and Businesses to Build, Cultivate, and Measure Success in the New Web. So I've gone through this book, and it is a fantastic read. But I have just a question, Brian. It's a social media book. I was in Borders yesterday, and the business section was a full one-third of social media books. So I have a question. There are so many social media books today. Tell me what this one adds to the conversation.
Well, it's exactly why I wrote the book, actually, because there were so many books and blogs and white papers and conferences and webinars all dedicated to social media, yet the majority of them actually don't tell you what you need to do for your business, for your organization, or just for you. And so I decided that the best way to provide a solution for everyone was to put a book together that helped you or anyone find the answers that they need in order to do this the right way, not just some top 10 ways or not just some theory or not just some high-level discussion about the need for social media, but a specific how-to guide to go and make this happen.
And the book says on the cover that it's for brands and businesses, and I thought that was really interesting because today I'm wondering if there is almost like a convergence of that, particularly where very, very small businesses are concerned. Can you comment on that?
Well, I use the words brand and businesses, and I toyed with organizations and entrepreneurs, and I actually wanted to list out everybody that could benefit from the book because there is this confusion or sentiment that social media is either for, you know, big enterprises or big brands, not necessarily for the small business or not for entrepreneurs. But the reality is this, is that social media impacts a business or an organization if their target consumers or influencers or customers are active in these social networks. And what we're already seeing in terms of just society in general is that every day individuals are flocking more to these social networks as a way to find and share information and also to connect with one another. So it does have a greater opportunity for almost any kind of business that you could imagine.
So anybody kind of fits in that category. Are you noticing, Brian, I know you deal with a lot of very, very large companies, but I also know that you also work with startups and very small businesses. Are you noticing any changes where leadership of very small businesses is concerned such that it's, of course, still about the products and services that we sell, obviously, because we have to sell them in order to be profitable. But are you noticing any trends where it concerns the owners of these businesses using social media not only to share their products and services, but also to create new opportunities for themselves?
Well, the trends that I'm noticing is that some are experimenting. Others are still sort of stuck in the Web 1.0 era. And you know, the thing that's common across the board is that even if they do have a website, that they're stuck in 96, 97. The reality is this, is that I hope that there will be a trend for these smaller businesses to embrace new media, not just social media, but just all forms of new media, starting with the website, starting with things like creating YouTube videos that demonstrate products and services and usefulness and resources and solutions, etc. Even before we start looking at things like Facebook and Twitter and Foursquare, just look at Yelp, for example. Yelp was one of the first social networks that connected consumers around their experiences, around products and services and restaurants and what have you at the local level. And one of the first things that small businesses did, or at least what was reported on by mass media, was this general resistance against the service, that it might then air out all of the negative experiences and invite people to share negative commentary instead of all the positive experiences. And so instead of embracing the opportunity where they could connect one-on-one with consumers and the people who influence their decisions, they sort of pushed back. And as people were sharing negative experiences, they weren't doing anything other than complaining to Yelp, like, take this down, instead of going back into the community to learn what it is that they could do better and how to maintain dialogue or foster this sense of community in order to improve their business and show that they're listening and show that they're trying to adapt and have better offerings. And so what I hope to see happen over hopefully the short term here is this evolution of how small businesses actually work and how they think about customers and how they work with customers and how they get smarter in engaging with customers, because we are entering a new generation or a new era where it's no longer business as usual.
And you mentioned that so many smaller businesses are, as you described it, sort of stuck in Web 1.0. What do you see as the impediment to bringing small businesses out of that?
Well, a lot of this is just going to have to be open to change. And, we all know how that works. I mean, no one really likes change. We do like to operate within our comfort zones. But the only thing that's unfortunate here, or it's fortunate, depending on where you fall on either side of the line,
right,
is customers are going to tell you what they like and what they don't like regardless. And they are going to support you with their money, and in turn with their words and their actions. And those things are now leaving breadcrumbs or digital footprints online. And in order to attract them and to keep attracting them, we're just going to have to figure out where they are, what they're saying, and how can we make them part of the process. So we're going to have to step outside of our comfort zones and go figure those answers out.
And I wonder, too, if you would comment on the thought that I've seen a lot of writing about, and that is that, it's so easy to set up a Twitter account. It's so easy and practically free to negotiate and actually just be involved or actually just have an account at any of these places. Do you think that that sort of fosters the notion that if it's free to set it up, it shouldn't be that much work to make it useful?
I laugh because you're exactly right. I mean, depending on who I speak with, there's this general sentiment that if it's free, it must be completely easy to use, or if it's free, it must be a toy and therefore not important to me. But the reality is this. There's nothing in life is free. Even if you're setting up an account on Twitter or a page in Facebook or a profile in Foursquare, your time and energy and resources and intelligence and experience are not free. They're precious, and they must be treated as such. I can assure you and all of your listeners that by reading this book or just any number of posts that I've written on how to find where your customers are, it'll tell you exactly what you need to know before even setting up any of these profiles, so that you can see, are people talking about my market, my competitors, about me? Are they local to me? What are they saying? To what extent? Where are they congregating? And so we use search as a way to get these answers, to figure out what they're doing, what they're saying, and where, so that we can start to get smarter about how it is that we're going to try to connect with them.
Brian, is it an overstatement generally to say that any business, whether it's a local retail operation or a restaurant or an organization that sells online, that's they make their money by selling products online and shipping them to people, looking across that expanse across all industries, Do you think it's an overstatement to say that social media and participation in the kinds of discussions you're talking about are not an option anymore?
Well, they will no longer be an option over time. Right now, it is a unique opportunity for all businesses to get smart, to start answering questions, start even figuring out what kind of questions to ask, because the greater society is moving online into social networking. But these are the times to start to figure it out before we miss the train completely. And I can, if it's one word that I can say, it's encouragement, or maybe even better, empowerment. Self-empowerment to get those answers yourself is going to help you much quicker and actually place you far ahead of the game as this starts to become more pervasive. And so, yeah, there's some time to just sit there on the sidelines, but really, doing so has its consequences, just like anything in life. If you sit on the sidelines, you miss the game.
Now, I want to ask you a question about your blog, because I really do enjoy your blog. For those of you who haven't been there, it's briansolis.com. Very well organized and neatly laid out, and you can get links to buy the book. You can get links to even have Brian come speak to your organization or be on your show like mine and get some books for your organization. It's really easy to find what you're looking for there. But I have a question. I'm a small business owner, and your blog is so filled with fantastic statistics and information about return on investment and all kinds of wonderful things that anybody can use to grow their business. How would you suggest a small business, like a person that's like wearing almost all the hats, how would you suggest that we import that kind of deep, heavy knowledge into our everyday business operations? Because you blog a lot, you blog pretty much every day, and everything is really meaty and really good. Do you have any tips for, you know, scanning that information to pull out the things that we, as, again, very small businesses can make the most use of?
You know, I haven't organized it by, say, the size or shape of a business, or the industry or focus. Maybe one of these days I'll go back and add some tags to all the posts, so that way someone can come in and say, I need everything related to small business. In fact,
in your spare time, right?
but I do recognize the need to do that, because the information that's on the blog can be heady at times, and it's clear to see that some of it would be more beneficial to, say, an enterprise organization rather than a small local business. However, there are many posts that have been written with the small business in mind, and most importantly, or actually even recently, I spoke on behalf of Citibank to small business customers, where we actually talked about the very specific things that they need to do on how to get smart and how to start experimenting in a way that is immediately measurable, so that they can be rewarded for their time and investment, and also seek sort of creativity in order how to be more effective within these online networks. And so the blog, yeah, I'm going to have to organize it for everyone, but I can assure you that the lessons that are there are all helpful for regardless of that size or focus of the business.
Good. And I know certainly, I mean, it's fantastic. I think using that search tool to search on small business has been helpful for me as well. I like to get into the nitty-gritty a little bit more than most, though, so that's why I asked that question. So do tiny businesses, and see, I don't use the word small all the time, Brian, because small, you know, you can be a million-dollar company and still be defined as small by the U.S. Small Business Administration, so I try to be careful and let you know we're talking about solopreneurs and very small businesses. You know, what sorts of advantages, if any, do you think those kinds of businesses have over really large companies when it comes to incorporating and making serious use of social media to contact and be in engagement, as you say, with their customers?
Well, you know, the thing, and we're talking about small businesses specifically,
talking very small, like generally speaking, 1 to 5 employees, maybe 10 at the most.
And are we looking at maybe that local style business?
We're looking at local and probably somewhere around a half a million in revenue or below that.
Okay, well, you know, the thing about social is that at varying levels, depending on what your business is and what your market is, at varying levels, you will find opportunities to engage. Mm-hmm. More importantly, you will find opportunities to learn how to be more engagement worthy, so to speak. And that research on the front end, that listening, as we call it, by using the search box in a bunch of these social networks to see what comes up, sort of defines the scope of what happens next. Now, the thing that you'll find is that it could be a complete waste of time, meaning that you're in there and you're responding and you're talking and you're tweeting and you're updating and you're posting and you're doing all of these things mm-hmm. because it's addictive and it's fun. But at the same time, though, there has to be a strategy around it. There has to be some way of measuring success so that you're embracing this in a way that doesn't affect or cripple other aspects of your business, especially since the team is so small. And so a lot of individuals say, well, how much time should I dedicate to this? How many people should I dedicate to this? And the answer is going to be different depending on the business and also depending on the focus in the market and sort of the state of adoption of social media amongst their customers, because it doesn't replace all of the other things you need to be doing. It just augments it. And over time, these customers and prospects are going to be shifting from more traditional means of communication this way. So the time that you split today will naturally err to the side of interactive media. But for the most part, right now, you know, the answer is it depends. And the only person who could answer it best is going to be the small business owner. They have to spend 3, 4, 5 hours in a week, for example, to just go start getting an idea of what their landscape looks like online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to do it. That's what Brian Solis says. He is the author of Engage, the Complete Guide for Brands and Businesses to Build, Cultivate, and Measure Success in the New Web. BrianSolis.com. For more information, we're going to take a short break and come back and have one more segment with Brian this afternoon. I'm looking forward to talking with you. This is Donna Maria on Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today with Brian Solis, the author of Engage, the Complete Guide for Brands and Businesses to Build, Cultivate, and Measure Success in the New Web. And before we took our break, Brian, you said something like being engagement worthy. What exactly does that mean?
Well, the thing that is most precious in social networks these days is time and attention. And if you look at even the marketing aspects of life before social networking, I think any consumer would tell you that they feel absolutely bombarded by messages and advertisements and marketing material. In fact, there was, I can't even remember the number, but by the time you got into the work, you were every morning, you were already exposed to X amount of well, it's actually a ridiculous number of marketing messages. And so as businesses are trying to engage online, naturally the first thing that they think to do is to market to people, send them advertisements or promotions, whereas the real opportunity here is to form a connection, is to establish an online relationship that yields dialogue that yields value, that also yields business over time. But it's two-way now, and meaning that we can't just push this information at people. We have to sort of earn their time. We have to earn their attention. So to be engagement-worthy means that you have to bring something of value to the table. So that way that the exchange is mutually beneficial. And that takes a little bit of time on the front end to do the homework, to see what people are seeking, asking, sharing, looking for. And that it hopefully gives you enough information to be smarter before you start to engage.
So it's like going to the potluck dinner but not bringing anything yourself. That's a no-no. So it's already empty-handed.
Exactly.
So let's talk about some of the tools, okay? There's a million billion, and you have a fantastic poster, The Conversation Prism, that includes just about all of them. But I want to focus on three and ask you about Twitter, Facebook, and a blog. And again, I know there are others, but is it an overstatement to sort of describe those three as a kind of, you know, a triple play, a sort of trifecta for any small business to incorporate as a starting point?
It does start to give the appearance of a trifecta. And you know, Twitter, Facebook, and even YouTube start to sound a lot like CBS, ABC, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if at some point, you know, going out with that message sends the wrong message, because I spend a lot of my time with every company that I work with to figure out where those conversations are taking place first so that I can understand where my time should be focused. In some cases, I come back with Facebook not even being an option, or Twitter not being an option, blogs being an option, and Foursquare being an option. YouTube may be a better option with, you know, combined with something else. And so I always urge businesses to just do some listening first. For example, they can use a service like People Browser. They have a free or almost free product called Analytically. There are so many other tools that you can use that are also free, where you could just do some research, you know, some listening, some searches to see what comes back, and it'll tell you which networks people are actually talking. And it might be Facebook and Twitter, but without first doing that research, you do what a lot of other businesses do, and that is create presences, start to put time and energy behind them, and then get frustrated or discouraged when you don't see the responses that you would hope to see in terms of people buying, people talking to you, people following or friending you. All these things take work, and naturally you have to go where they are first.
So that makes a whole lot of sense. So I remember when I first got on Twitter, I just, you know, it was like an entirely new world opened up for me, so I began tweeting endlessly. Had to pull back on that, as you say, it can be addictive. But you know what's interesting, and maybe this is an example of what you're describing, is that, you know, I thought it was so great, and I saw enough of my customers and other stakeholders there to hang out there and be active there. What it took me a while to realize, that I could have realized if I had done what you just said a lot earlier, was that most of them were on Facebook, and they hated Twitter.
Yeah, very interesting.
What I mean by sort of, you know, testing the waters out, having a listen to find out where those conversations are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And those conversations are happening. They're already aggregated in certain places. And in fact, some businesses that I work with will find that the majority of conversations are taking place on blogs and in message boards and discussion forums, and not at all on Twitter, for example. But we don't know that until we just do a little bit of research. Again, you know, a few hours is all it takes to get at least a general idea about where people are, so that way you can start to peel back another layer of that onion to see what they're saying, what they're looking for, to figure out what you would bring to the potluck.
Good. That's really good advice, making sure that you listen. So one, your book talks a lot about customer relationship management, and one of the things it says is that at some point, I'm paraphrasing here, so I want you to definitely expand on this, the C in customer relationship management is slowly disappearing. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, the last thing I'm trying to do is introduce another acronym. What I wanted to do was get people thinking outside of the box, and that box is CRM. And customer relationship management is a collection of methodologies, tools, technologies, just an infrastructure that supports everything around the idea of the customer, how to reach them, how to keep them, how to attract new customers, everything necessary to keep that streamlined. And as media socializes, as the process for considering a purchase, making a purchase, and sharing experiences after that purchase consistently go down the path of social, we have to harness that activity and bring it into the infrastructure so that basically CRM socializes. And so that movement is now called social CRM. But what's happening is that we are missing quite possibly one of the most influential aspects of customer relations, and that is the influencer who basically steers their decisions before, during, and after a purchase. And while some say, well, that would just be a function of public relations, the answer really is no. This is a form of business intelligence and business engagement as part of that customer process. These influencers are actively referring products and services, and they might not even be a customer, but they are considered an expert or a resource, and not necessarily as a traditional reporter or a blogger, but someone whose opinion we trust.
Good point. You know, it makes me think about how all of us who are using these tools are, in fact, some kind of a media outlet for our own businesses.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, those businesses, small or large, that figure out how to bring value, consistently bring the best dish to the potluck, and keep those conversations alive during the potluck, start to earn this stature, this prominence within their space, where they are, where, I guess the best way to put it is where they earn influence, meaning that the more you engage, the more value you bring to the table, the more likely it is that these communities that form around you start to get something out of it. And the more you do it and the more they get out of it, the bigger the community goes, the more active it gets, the more influential it gets. And suddenly, you are the resource. You are helping guide people in the right direction. You are helping them make decisions that hopefully are in your favor. You are helping them do things they couldn't do better before they met you. And why would we not take the opportunity to use these social networks to become that influencer? Instead of relying on other people to spread the word for us, we become the source of that.
I love that. Helping people do things better than they could without you. That sums it up really good. And all this talk about potluck is making me hungry around the lunch hour too, Brian. This has been a fantastic show. We have to go. I know we're cutting things short a little bit today because Brian has a very busy schedule. But I want you to let people know, Brian, where are the best places to go check you out? Are you doing some book signings, some speaking engagements at conferences that people can sign up for over the next couple of months?
Well, I'm definitely on the road, but I would highly suggest that you take a crack at reading the book. Take it, you know, bit by bit. It's written to help you figure out what questions to ask and then how to get the answers to those questions. It's in a bookstore near you. It's online at Amazon and also Barnes & Noble and other outlets. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian Solis, or you could see or keep up with me on the blog at briansolis.com. But either way, you know, go out there and start learning. And don't look for shortcuts. The shortcuts are only going to hurt your overall reach over time. I encourage you to just do the hard work, the homework right now, because in the long run, you will be that much ahead. Farther ahead than anyone else.
Excellent advice from Brian Solis. Don't take the shortcut because you don't want a shortcut business. We don't want our businesses to take the shortcut with us. So we don't want to take a shortcut with our businesses. Great way to sum things up. And by the way, I'll let you know too, Brian Solis has a really cool Flickr page. Lots of great pictures there. A lot of people talk to me about, I can't find pictures for my blog. Well, Brian's got a lot, and some of them are available, right, Brian, through the Creative Commons license.
Oh, absolutely. Most of them. In fact, I think anything that's on Flickr is available through Creative Commons, which means they can use it, and all they have to do is put a credit.
Great, great. And also, you know, he's kind of just in a lot of different places. So if you Google him, you'll find stuff. But I do encourage you, just to echo what he said, to get this book. It's broken down by chapter. You've got Social Media University 101, 201, 301. So in our minds, we can even compartmentalize the things that Brian is conveying, and he's done a fantastic job. That's Engage, the complete guide for brands and businesses to build Cultivate and Measure Success in the New Web. Next week, my guest is Pam Slim, the author of Escape from Cubicle Nation. She joins us to share her tips for going from your own cubicle to your own corporation. Pam did it, I did it, and you can do it too. That's next week, June 14th, right here on Indie Business Radio. Thank you so much to my guest today, Brian Solis at briansolis.com, and thank you for joining. You can download the show on iTunes or at my blog at indiebusinessblog.com. Have a great week, everyone. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.